Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 119. We've been talking about the need in this hour for, you know, the Word of God to rise up in preeminence in our lives. Of course, on a daily basis, you know, not just when we come to church. It's amazing the Word of God is even, you know, tragically obscure within so many churches today. We laughingly have talked about, at times we've had guest speakers and they would come in and they would say, turn to a passage, and all of a sudden the noise of pages turning and everything was almost startling, because so often people don't even bring their Bibles to church. But we're not a people like that. We're a people that love the Word of God and study the Word of God. But predominantly, we need to be people that do the Word of God. Amen? And James is very clear. He said, if we're hearers of the Word and not doers, hearers only and not doers, we deceive ourselves. And with people like ourselves who for years and years have been students of the Word and would really, you know, pretty much see ourselves as, to the best of our ability, doers of the Word, we've been having to look at the fact that has there been in our lives a digression because of the spirit of the age that we're living in, when there is no absolute truth in our society today. Children are taught, it's taught in our universities, the relativism. People deal off of situational ethics. We know that's wrong, but I justify my action because of this. The scripture says, of course, in John 17, thy word is truth. Amen? And so we're held to God's method of living our lives. We make all of our decisions in direct correlation to what God's Word declares, and everything that pertains to life and godliness has been revealed to us in the Word of God. There's nothing we're going to face in life that God's Word doesn't have an answer to and a course set for you and I as individuals. And so we need to have a jealousy for that understanding of the Word and the application of the Word in our lives in all of our daily decisions. Walking as a Christian doesn't mean we walk through the daily lives making, you know, mundane decisions, and then sometimes big circumstances come in our lives and we then better go to God. We need God to direct every step of our lives. Amen? We need God to be able to give us understanding of the course that we're on and the decisions that we're making on a daily basis. The scripture says it's in Him that we live and move and have our very being. And so, you know, we're wanting to make sure that we're always going to the Word of God. What's God's Word have to say about this? Where's the wisdom of God in this situation? And so Psalm 119, of course, and we won't read the whole chapter tonight, but, you know, these 176 verses are prominently about the Word of God and the need for us to apply it to our lives. You can't read this chapter without being blessed. Amen? And of course, the reason for that is, you know, Romans 10 is very clear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no way for faith to increase in our lives and for us to grow spiritually without spending time in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we've seen and we all know, that hearing doesn't just mean audio perception. That word in the Greek, hearing, means to have an audience. And we've shared with you, of course, over the years, that understanding of that means to have an encounter with, and it speaks very clearly of the usage that would be in a court hearing, or to come and stand before God and have a specific decree or charge made by the mouth of God, which then creates in our spirit men spiritual authority, spiritual energy, spiritual life, because we've just heard freshly a voice from the Holy Spirit. This audience with God, we've come into His presence and He says, here's what the Bible says and here's how I now want you to apply that to your life in this situation. That's when faith begins to arise. Until then, it's knowledge. And that's good. We need to hide the Word of God, this Psalm says, in our hearts that we don't sin against Him. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, amen, and a guide to my path, praise God. You know, we're so often praying, what's God's will for my life? His will for your life is revealed right here in the Scriptures. I can tell you one thing tonight that God's will is for you. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. In other words, clean up your act. That's God's will for your life, amen? Get better today than you were yesterday. That's God's will for your life. And we're living in a generation when men are setting their own standards because the Word of God is being pushed aside, even within our churches. And we justify our actions. And of course, we're confident in that because the majority believes that way. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Thy word is truth. I found your word, the prophet said, and I ate it, and it became unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You know, we talked about this, and this will be the last little bit of review for tonight, but we talked about this on Sunday and how so many people are lacking joy and peace in the world today. And this is the source of it, praise God. To be able to have the Word of God as a sure foundation. The reason people don't have joy, the reason people are living constantly in anxiousness and fear, they don't know what tomorrow holds. I know what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow's going to be just like today. Jesus is Lord, praise God. Amen? And so I go to this word and I'm at peace. Why? Because the Bible says, I will not be tempted past that I'm able to stand. And with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. It doesn't matter how hard it is, God's not letting me be destroyed under this thing and will deliver me. Amen? You know why I'm at peace? Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Thy word. Amen? And so we live in the Word of God, and because of that, we live in constant victory and constant hope. If I didn't believe to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living, He said, I wouldn't have been able to stand, praise God. And so we look to the Scriptures, and we make them our delight. We saw Sunday night that the wise man spoke to us out of Proverbs, and he told us, he said, you know, this knowledge, this wisdom is more precious than rubies. He said, you're to search for it as a hidden treasure. Would you say that's our approach to the Word of God tonight? Or is it the last thing we do in the evening or the first thing in the morning, we pick it up and read a couple of verses and we're on our way? Communion with God is through His Word. We encounter God as we get quiet before Him and let Him apply His wisdom and strength to us through His Word. Hebrews says it very clearly. This Word is alive and powerful. Amen? This is not just a book. These words come into the spirit, the heart of a man, and create spiritual life and power. It transforms our hearts and our minds. For God and His Word are one. There's no other way to know God but through His Word. You know, these people that have these extra biblical relations with God, you know, God spoke to me, God said this. If God said that to you, it's already been recorded here, praise God. It is written, you will not add to, nor shall you diminish from this word. There is no new revelation. God will not speak anything to you contrary to what He already has spoken to us and requires from us in this word. And so we get quiet before God in our prayer time and we open this book and we say, speak, Lord. And James says that it's a mirror. And we look in this Bible and James says, and we can then behold what manner of man we really are. That's why people don't like opening this book. It shows us what we really are. You know, there's what mama said we are. And mama lied to you because you ain't all that. There's who we think we are. And then what you see is what you get. Don't you want to know what you really are? Don't you want to know where you really stand with God tonight? Don't you want to know whether or not we have rights with God? That we have a right to come into His presence and have our prayers heard? I'll tell you what, His ears are closed to the unrighteous. And so we see a need to come and fellowship and commune with Him in the Word of God. But it can't be a casual encounter. And so we want to look at a couple of passages here. Turn over to Joshua real quickly and then here in Psalm 119 and we want to look at a couple of different principles that the scripture's speaking to us. In the 119th Psalm, we see this Psalm starting off and we will read the first few verses here and just see what the Word of God is speaking to us concerning the necessity of the Word being preeminent in our life. Do you search for it as a hidden treasure? Is it more precious to you than fine gold and rubies? That's a valid question. That's what God is asking us. How is it that we spend so much time on these devices, these cell phones and internets and televisions and magazines and all kinds of things that just suck time and life out of us? And everything that pertains to life and godliness is right here in this book. The treasure of the presence of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, it's all right here in this book. If we believe that, sleep would be something we would put aside that we could spend time in His Word. We'll see that He speaks of that being one of the things that many times is necessitated. The wise man said, I found your word and it became to me more of a necessity than my physical food. I counted it a greater need and treasure. Now we're hitting at some places that are pretty important to us, aren't we? Our food. How about fasting a meal and taking that 30 minutes and getting in this 119th Psalm and saturating your spirit man so you would have enough spiritual energy to finish the day victoriously. So if the Holy Ghost would speak to you from these scriptures and faith would begin to rise in your heart and you would be a bold witness at work and no longer cowering down or fearful about what people might think. As he declares to us our righteousness, and the scripture says the righteous are as bold as a lion, praise God. That's what time in this book will do to you. It'll give you a confidence, it'll give you a power, it'll give you a wisdom that is limitless. And we all know that. Well, you know, I just had a bad week or I was a little bit lazy today. No, we all know that. And the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin, praise God. You know, it's not up to your discretion as to whether you want to spend time in his word or not. God commands us to come to him through his word. Amen? And so he starts this psalm off and he said, blessed are the undefiled. The Hebrew there, it's really talks about perfect. Now that's not talking about sinless perfection. It's talking about completeness. It's talking about maturity. So he's saying, blessed is the mature man in the way who walks in the word of God. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him, say it with me, with their whole heart. You got to keep his testimonies. Not memorize them. Keep them. And he goes on and says, and seeks for him with your whole heart. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that pertains to this life will be added unto you. Your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. Amen? And yet we run after needs, man. We run after this job, that job. We want to have, you know, live in this kind of a home, drive this kind of a car, wear these kind of clothes. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. It's only wrong if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. And if you're searching for him, the Bible says, with all of your heart, what's going to happen? If you search for me with all of your heart, what's the prophet say? You will find me, praise God. Now the Lord's doing great things here in our midst. I'm blessed every time I see one of our young people, you know, here tonight, a high school student speaking out in our midst. In the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost speaking through him, calling us to righteousness. That's the fruit of the Word of God. Amen. We're a blessed people. Hallelujah. This little group of people here, we're a mighty group of Gideon's 300. But we can still be more. Amen. There's more to be had, praise God. There's greater things to be done. We've got wars raging right now in our midst. We're talking about the Word of God having its rightful place in our lives, seeing its results manifested in our obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments and they will not be grievous unto you. It is not difficult to obey God if we're alive in the Spirit, if we're feeding ourselves with the Word of God. You see, once walking in the Bible, once walking according to the truth of the Word of God, once walking in the Spirit becomes difficult, it begins to indicate the love of God waning. Because when you love Him, it's not tough to obey Him. It's not tough to be obedient. All that's showing is that you've reasserted yourself into lordship. Preeminence. You've now taken your life back and said, I'll make the decisions from here on, Jesus. I'll call on you when I need you. I don't know about you. I need him for every breath. I need him to sanctify every thought. I need him to be the originator of the course that's being set in my life. I need him and his grace to enable me to love him and pursue him. I can't do it in my own strength. I need his mercy and grace to love my wife as I should. I really need his mercy to love you. Yeah, go ahead and say it right back at you. We need him, amen? We need his word to become the source of all of our wisdom and all of our understanding and how we train our children. Dear God, the young people's lives that are being destroyed today. I cannot believe how Christians are putting their kids out into the public arena and having them defiled through our education systems. The Bible says you train up your children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Praise God. It's our jobs to train our children. You know, all of these, the uproar today about kids being afraid to go to school and to keep your children safe. Our children are here. We keep them safe, praise God. I pity the dude that tries to come here and shoot somebody. Why? Because of the book. The scripture tells us that's our responsibility. That's not the government's responsibility. That's your responsibility to protect your children. Amen? To educate your children. To prepare your children for life. To prepare your children to become a success in the kingdom of God. And then whatever Father would have for us in our secular lives. But he talks about this man that's to come and to seek him with his whole heart. Verse 4, you've commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. Look, then shall I not be ashamed. I'll never be put down. I'll never be defeated. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all of your commandments. You know, I think that's something that we really need to look at. Do we respect the commandments of God? Do we give them preeminence, not only in our study and coming to the knowledge? Do we let people know why we don't do what we don't do? You know what's tragic all the years? Many churches that believe in holiness and sanctification like we do and living separate from the world and its cares and its wisdom. When they encounter people sometimes out in the highways and the byways, will make comments like this. Well, you know, my church doesn't believe in that. Wrong answer. The reason I do what I do and don't do what I don't do is because it is written. Amen? Because the Bible says. That's why. I have respect under the Word of God. I respect the Word of God more than your person. I have no problem with the fact that if I quote the Word of God to you and it upsets you, that's your problem. You take it up with God. I just quoted to you all what He said. That's all. I didn't give you my opinion. I just told you what God said. That's a respect for the Word of God, making it preeminent, letting people know what we're about. Many people are amazed because of the boldness of your witness. People aren't used to people without embarrassment proclaiming the name of Jesus. Not the man upstairs. Not supreme being. It is written, there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. Amen? And he's been given a name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's written. I do that, why? Because he said, go in my name and do these things. And in my name, those that believe in my name, you're going to cast out devils. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover, praise God. That's what I'm doing out here. Well, you know, you're going to have to hold your peace. You know, you're not allowed to speak about the gospel or the name of Jesus in this particular community or in this institution. Hey, I want to tell you something right up front, Jack. I can't help but speak the things that I have seen and heard. Hallelujah. I've been called and commanded to go into the highways and the byways and compel men to come to the gospel. The prophet said one time when he was forbidden to speak, he said, I tried to restrain myself, but this word became a fire in my bones, praise God. Amen? There's no institution going to back us off the Word of God. I don't care whether it's government, secular, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. It's what I've been called to do. That's my reason for living. Now see, tonight, many of us, we're coming to crunch time, some of us. We for years, you know, spoken about, oh yes, amen, you know, and talk about the three Hebrew children and their willingness to enter into the furnace. But if you're already looking for ways at work to tiptoe around things, or you're already starting to get concerned about HR and how they might respond, I want to tell you something. You're not having respect for the Word of God. Amen or oh me, it's the truth. We don't fear men's faces. We sit here and say we're willing to die for Jesus, but we're not willing to lose our job for him. How do you come up with that? You want to know where that kind of thought process comes from? It comes from James. We're not continuing in the Word of God. We forgot what manner of man we are. We think we're some kind of powerful believer until it comes to crunch time where it really costs us something. Thy word is truth. Now, if you read on in this 119th Psalm, there's no wiggle room, man, for how the Word requires us to show that respect, to make this Word preeminent in our lives and in the sight of everyone that's watching us. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? The Word of God becomes preeminent. You know, Pastor Jeff was teaching on relationships here the other day, you know, and we've had people look and they question and say, well, you know, you people are awful strange, and why is it that you don't believe in dating and these type of things? And I won't get off course onto that issue, but it's because the Bible says, amen, that we're to flee youthful lusts. We're to shun the appearances of evil. We're to give no place to the devil. Send two teenagers out alone, loaded with testosterone and the emotions of young women and these different things, and mix that together and give them free rein. You know, people think that us sharing this is a new thing. Let me tell you something, man. The old thing has always been, now we don't, there's still some religions that do it today. We don't, whatever the thing just went out of my mind, the marriages, have them arrange marriages. But you know, that's still a thing in the world today. India, Africa. Even in Western civilization, there was always chaperone. You see, this thing of two teenagers running around on their own, that's American stupidity. And it's sure not Bible. And so he speaks to us here and he says, how do you get a young man to cleanse his ways? You want to know why? And all the statistics show it. In most Christian churches, premarital sex, teenage pregnancies are not a whole lot different than the secular. Do you want to know why 90% of our young people are virgins when they get married? It's written. Amen? It's written. You give no place to the devil. You shun these appearances and opportunities. You use the wisdom of God that says, don't go to the corner. Amen? Don't go down. Listen, foolish young man. Do not go down to the corner. That woman's going to grab you. She's going to kiss you. She's going to say, let's take this time and enjoy ourselves. My husband's gone on a trip. And you, doofus. Can I bring it up to modern date? Just shut your device off. Cut off every opportunity that gives you opportunity to go to her corner. I'm off course. I'll get back here in just a second, but it's tragic when you look at the statistics today, the rise of young women getting caught up in pornography. Shun the very appearance of evil, the scripture says. Begin to fellowship and commune. Look at the 63rd verse in this chapter. It says, I am a companion of all them that fear God and of those that keep His commandments. You know, if I were you parents, I would keep an eye on my kids and see who is it that they're gravitating to. I'm talking about even among us. Is it the ones that are kind of leaning toward the world or the ones that are selling out for God? It's your choice. But I am a companion of those that keep the precepts of God, that have respect unto His commandments. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise God. Oh, this word's powerful. We've got to count it better and more necessary than our natural food. I have rejoiced in the way of your word as much as in all riches. Yeah, let's try that one on today in 21st century America. I'll tell you, the way things are going, there could come a day in our lives when we'd be happy to give all the money we had to be able to put this in our hands again. And in adversity and trial and persecution and tribulation. And don't think for a minute that can't happen in America. Much of this anger and much of this frustration and fear that you see in society today, it's going to be turned on the church. And by the way, we have all of this hoopla about these young people and how tragic it was. And I don't minimize that, these handful of young people that were just killed down here in Florida, and the nation's going crazy. And nobody's even talking about the fact that a man walked into a church in Texas just a couple of months ago and wiped families' names off the face of the earth, killed pregnant mothers, killed their parents and killed their grandparents. Those families don't exist anymore. Wiped off the face of the earth. Walked into a meeting like this and shot everybody in the place. Little infants laying on the church pew and shoot them at point blank. That was just a church though. Wasn't a school. I'll tell you, the value systems are skewed in this country. And the rights of self-interest groups. And many of these other organizations. And when you and I stand up and speak the word of God, I mean with the way the society is going today and their absolute insanity of embracing transgender surgeries and people being able to just state, well, you know, I feel like a woman today. And you can change your sex on a daily basis depending on how you feel by just stating it. God's already marked you. We know what you are. I can look at you and tell you what you are. You don't have to wrestle with it internally. I just can't decide what I am, a man or a woman. I can tell you right up front. But the point I'm making is this. How bizarre this is. And then all of a sudden they look at people like you and I and they say, what's wrong with you people? Where is your tolerance? Well, let me tell you something. The scripture already shares the consequences of homosexuality and its death. Now you go out and proclaim that in society today and people are going to hate you. And they're going to call you bigoted. I didn't say that. God said that. And I serve God. And I believe His word. And people have come to Christians today and try to get them to back off of things like, do you really believe that homosexuals, you know, should be killed? That's what the Bible says. Now, the fact that we don't live in a theocratic society and the laws of this land are not carrying out the laws of God, then we don't take it upon ourselves, and this is where people get themselves in trouble, Christian stuff, to go out and start enforcing things. We, as believers, hold to the standard of the Word of God. Government, Romans 13 says, the powers that be, the government, is ordained of God. But we don't change our stand on what the Word of God says. It is an abomination, the Scripture says. And so when you look at these people, and I've talked to them, you're saying that I'm an abomination? I am saying your lifestyle and your beliefs are an abomination to God. Yes. Make no apologies for it. We're going to be dealing with more issues than these as time goes on. How fortified are you in the Word of God? How much respect do you have for the Word of God? Thy Word is truth, praise God. Now, I'm not talking about going out to some gay parade and trying to accost people. You see, it's not their sin of homosexuality that's going to send them to hell. Any more than murder sends people to hell. Or adultery sends people to hell. The Gospel of John makes it very clear. You're going to hell. Sin is preeminent in your life and you're going to be judged for it because you believe not on me, he said. That's the ultimate sin that's going to send people to hell. They don't accept Jesus' redemption as God's source of delivering them and reconciling them back into fellowship with himself. They think there's another way. They think they can do it by their good works. They think they can do it by ignoring God, whatever the case might be. But the rejection of Jesus Christ. So when we go out to the hypothetical gay parade, we're not out there to oppose homosexuality. We're out there to preach Jesus. Amen? We don't approach the negative. We speak the positive. We preach the gospel. Then when somebody would question us on the biblical truths, then we stand up and say, yes, that's what the Bible says. It's no different than somebody asking me, say, you're trying to tell me that adultery's wrong? Yes. Murder's wrong? Yes. Not loving your neighbor? Not loving humanity? Beloved, we've got to love homosexuals. And we've got to love every aspect of God's creation. Every ethnic group. Every religious group. We've got to be very careful that our love for God and our stand for the Word of God doesn't cause us to become angry or critical of other religions. Just speak the truth. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Amen? We as Christians of all people, we don't have to be defensive. We got the truth. The guy that knows he's right doesn't get defensive. You can believe what you want. It's America. You can be wrong if you want. But I will not compromise the Word of God. Now, where we're headed in this study is to see that it's not just a doctrinal stand and love for the Word of God and respect for the Word of God that we're talking about, though. It's a practical, experiential application. Which means if we believe the Bible, you gotta love your wife. And you gotta love her when she's not lovely. And you gotta love her more than your own body. And you've gotta be willing to lay your life down for her. Amen? Amen. And wives, you're to love your husbands. And you're to respect your husbands. And you're to submit to your husbands. That one doesn't fly in society today. Did I hear you right? Did you just say the S word? Absolutely. The Bible says the woman was made for the man, not the man for the woman. The head of the woman is the man. That one doesn't fly in society today. But it doesn't matter what all these women groups have to say. It's the Word of God. Now get in line. Amen? And many of you say, man, I'd never go out into society and say something like that. I know, because you won't even say it at home. But it's the truth. Amen? How about raising our children up properly? Children run society today. Children are a bunch of little idols running around the homes. You shall have no other gods before me. What are the children's role? It's easy. Kids, it's easy. You go to this Bible. There's only a couple of verses that pertain to you kids. You know what it is? Children, obey your parents. Amen? And you'll live long. Now the reason that's in there is because in the Old Testament, if you didn't obey your parents, they stoned you to death. And boy, I'll tell you, when you look around society today and the way these kids act, there should just be a whole bunch of piles of rocks everywhere, man. Let God be true, amen? But we can't make it just doctrine. It's not just a part of our lives. It's this truth is our lives. It's who we are. It's what we believe. We'll finish with this for this evening. He said, I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now this was the message for tonight. Okay, so all of the rest of that was introduction. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto thy way. I will delight myself in your statutes and I will not forget your word. So as we close for tonight, I will meditate. That word meditate, of course, as we know, it means not only to just contemplate, but it means to mutter, to say it over and over again. Find people that you can discuss the Word of God with, what God's speaking to you, what the Word is saying in each of our lives as it pertains to whatever circumstances we're in. Here's what I'm seeing the Word saying to me. Here's my circumstance. And we're with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we're muttering and saying, you know, and this is what I believe God's saying, and I've been meditating on this, and I believe this is the Word of the Lord to me. And we're able then to fellowship around the Word of God. We're companions of all of those that fear Him and keep His precepts. Amen? And that's what begins to strengthen us. That's what begins to encourage us to make our stand. And we can share with each other and say, yeah, I was in that same situation. I had to make the decision between the secular wisdom, the secular methods, or the Word of God. And I stood on the Word and He was faithful, praise God. Because He will not allow us to be tempted past that we're able to stand. In all of the temptations, He makes a way of escape. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word, and don't let us be hearers, but doers. Don't let us think we're better than what we are. Reveal the truth to us and help us to walk in Your commandments. You've said, Jesus, if we were going to follow you, we have to take up your yoke and learn of you. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Help us to come and yoke up with you and take up our cross and die to our self-governance, our self-will, our personal agendas. And let us pray as you prayed, Father, not my will, your will be done. And for that, we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, the word is truth. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.